Blimey. This is one out of a jam jar you got here.
Into the morning. The House of Mystery contains demons, angels, elementals, magicians, wizards, apparitions, adult language, and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not enter the House of Mystery.
All right, then. On with the show.
All right. Hello. Welcome, everyone, to the House of Mystery. I am Michael Flores, the host, and this is the John Constantine and Friends fan show, exclusively available on Rain Man Digital. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Just search House of Mystery. Give us thumbs up. Give us reviews. Give. Me. Hello, David. How are you today?
Mike, why am I standing in a summoning circle?
Because I'm going to offer you up.
Did it finally come down to this?
Yes, I'm tired of you. I'm just going to use you as a sacrifice. Unfortunately, I don't think you're worth that much. There we go.
My soul has already been tainted.
Yeah. You're a foul person. And not even hell wants you. All right. So we have a lot of Constantine news lined up today. A lot of discussions pertaining to Keanu Reeves possibly reprising his role as the magical magician, the chain-smoking magician. And, of course, we have news on the Sandman universe presents Hellblazer number 1, which will be released October 30th.
Just Dave, around the corner.
The last 8 weeks have been pretty exciting. Because of all the news pertaining to Constantine and what to expect. I mean, we have the Deceased comic that came out recently.
Yeah, I was really surprised that Constantine is playing a major role in that series.
I'm loving it,
but I wasn't expecting Constantine to play a major role into it.
No, I don't think anyone did. But hey, you know what? The comic books were selling off the shelves. They were very sought out title, and then they're like, hey, let's do a spinoff. How can we make more money? Let's do a spinoff. Now, the one with Constantine, and we'll get into it, is just a one shot, but we'll see how long that lasts, because we know DC can't help themselves. If something's good, like, well, let's do a one shot. So a two-part.
But you know what? This one shot's gonna be so well worth it.
Yeah, I do one shots sometimes, usually, you know, very usually it's very weak.
It kind of dribbles out.
Yeah. I don't even think it can be called a one shot. Maybe a half a shot.
It's a half a shot. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Sandman Universe presents Hellblazer number 1, October 30th. That's the street date with Constantine. It's his own title with his official title, John Constantine Hellblazer number 1, following up just a month later.
Yeah, this one is, I'm more excited for this than the number one of his that's going to follow, because this is John Constantine's return to the Vertigo universe.
Wait, so you're anticipating the Presents title?
Yeah,
the
Presents title, because like
there are so many questions.
So many questions, and honestly, Constantine's one of those characters that I feel that needs to be in a Vertigo type of story, like Black Label and stuff like that.
Listen, Dave, I don't disagree, but I also think they can do mature storylines on the regular DC front, you know, the regular DC imprint. But hey, if we have the option to go to Black Label or the Sandman universe, aka Vertigo, then let's do it. But there are a lot of questions, because many years have passed. What is this going to be in terms of, or how is this going to work out in terms of canon? I know one of our hosts on this network had tweeted out the writer Spurrier and asked questions, and he told him to relax, calm down, and be patient. All answers will be revealed in time. But there are questions. I know a lot of us Constantine fans who have read his comic book, especially since the DC New 52.
Yeah.
That's when the biggest changes happened.
Yeah, because that was... We wanted to see how that Constantine would compare to the Constantine that we all know from the very beginning. And they are two different characters.
Well, one's very young. In fact, what was he, his 50s? He was in his 50s, an older gentleman in the Vertigo run. And in the New 52, he was a young, spry British man.
Man, yeah.
So there is a difference. And that's a question that I see a lot of people directing at Spurrier. Like, how are you going to make this work? What's going to happen? And we all, he's telling us all to be patient, rest assured, all of this is planned out. We talked about this in depth during our first show that we did, our inaugural show, but we're going to go through it a little bit again because there is a lot of new information that has been released. Of course, this is the month that it's coming out, October, and we can't ignore that. This is big, big news. After years in the mainstream DC universe, the Swamp Thing and Hellblazer character returns to horror comics. That's the key fucking word right there, Dave.
Yeah.
Horror comics this October, celebrating its 1 year anniversary. DC Sandman's universe line is adding a familiar face to his lineup, with John Constantine showing up to bring his own brand of cynical magic to the supernatural proceedings. We already know when he debuted. I'm not going to get into that. 1985 Saga of Swamp Thing.
The one thing that's really interesting to me is Constantine returning back, and that, or that's what they're trying to tout this as. Constantine returning back to his roots.
Right. And that's what Spurrier is all about. He recently opened up a website under simonspurrier.com where he's offering his thoughts on Constantine. He's the writer.
Yes.
He's so the a writer opening up a blog to write about the thoughts of Constantine. Listen, I'm not, it's funny. It's a little silly sounding, but I welcome it because, again, there's lots of questions. So simonspurrier.com. He has offered a lot of different insights into how he views Constantine. And so far, Dave, I can tell you a lot of my worries have been
averted.
Yeah, because this is a man that seems to understand the character and not the, the usual. I'm going to have him smoke. I'm going to have him say bullocks a few times and say a few other, you know, witty remarks.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the go-to with some writers. It's like, well, I think he's a little snarky at times, and we're going to have him smoke when we run out of things for him to do.
And I think that's that
was there's so much more to Constantine than just that. He's not just snark. He is a deep character who I feel like at his core, there's one word you can use to describe Constantine. Not snark, not cynical, not sarcastic, not bad, not good. Misunderstood
or complicated.
I would think that would go with misunderstood.
Yeah.
Usually people who are misunderstood tend to be
complicated,
complicated characters. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is about Constantine, I understand why they tried to actually bring him into the main universe.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense. He was a really hot character for them. They want that character and they wanted him to mix with the, with their mainstays, with Superman and Batman and everything else. Even though, you know, it was set when he was introduced in Vertigo that all these Vertigo characters are not allowed to intermingle with the main characters because their concepts are much more, I'm going to say, deeper.
What, Vertigo?
Yeah, Vertigo.
Well,
all their characters are so deep and complicated that it's like you can't really see them mixing with
what they have,
Batman
though.
And Superman.
They have, though. I mean, especially Sandman recently. Wasn't he in Metal?
Recently. Yeah. I'm talking when they were originally.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
When they were originally in Vertigo. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
Was to separate them and basically get these characters that no one could ever comprehend and deep and narratives that would blow your mind.
Yeah, you're right, because there was definitely a perception of comics. There still is. That's why so many people right now are getting upset and outraged by Joker, because like, oh, it's rated R. Oh, it's going to
ruin everything.
It's going to get people to start pulling out guns and knives. It's because there's a perception that a lot of the mainstream has on comics. Oh, it's for kids. But it's not necessarily for kids. And I think Vertigo / DC has always kind of
skirted the line.
Yes, and even more so today. And that's why I was thrown off when you said they can't really intermingle. But yes, absolutely. The 80s, the 90s.
80s and 90s.
Things were very different. I think the lines have been blurred a bit. DC does get away with some pretty adult themes and concepts, violence in their normal imprint. That's why I don't think there was a need for Vertigo any longer. I feel like DC is willing to go there many times.
Because about like just recently, I would say, is like you see this opening of creativity with DC. They're willing to do stories that really do push the boundaries of normal comic books.
It's counter-programming at its finest. They have to be. When you're dealing with Marvel, which is no doubt their biggest competitor, they can't offer the same thing. So how do they distinguish themselves to the new up-and-coming readers? Hey, this is what we are. That's what Marvel
is. And that's why I understood why they tried to bring in characters like Sandman and Constantine and even Swamp Thing and bring them into the main universe, because they wanted to push that envelope. But also, for me, Constantine's been one of those characters that I think just a little bit, maybe about like 5% hurt the character, because I like the recent runs of Constantine. I really do. But it always just, like what you said, it seems to, writers seem to water it down and say, he's British, he smokes, he's snark.
I'm not going to disagree. It feels like Vertigo is, oh man, painters are going to hate me right now. Vertigo is painting with oil paints. And DC Constantine is painting with acrylic.
Acrylic or markers.
Oh, come on. I want to go. Hey, listen, you can do beautiful things with acrylic. You can do beautiful things with acrylic, but there's a risk. Yes. When you're painting with oils, you can die. Your lungs can get filled with poisons. You can collapse and someone will find you weeks later, you know, bloated and dead.
And dead.
If you don't ventilate your area where you paint, there's a risk. And that's why I use that analogy. So you're not wrong, David. I feel like they have done pretty good stories with the regular DC imprint. But at this point, I think we're going to get the best of both worlds here. Again, Spurrier said to be patient, but there's a lot of rumors suggesting that we're going to have two Constantines. We're not losing the one that's part of the DC imprint universe currently. I mean, the one that they've been working on since, 2011? Is that when New 52 came in?
When the New 52 came in, and then basically they had
Justice DC League Dark. Yeah, and yeah. So there's rumors that we're going to have two Constantines. We'll have the new one. And then running parallel to that will be the Sandman universe, John Constantine. That's the rumor. I don't know how they'll make it work, especially since Sandman has been introduced into metal. Now, are we going to have two different? Are we going to have different Sandmans? I'm sure it can work. We already know sometimes comic books get very convoluted, but we can figure it out. Usually they do some very heavy handed explanations on how things are working, a split universe, a different timeline.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it'll work.
It worked in metal because you were dealing with multiverses.
Yep.
And you were dealing with other dimensions.
And listen, we should have known something was in the works then. Because when was 2017 is when metal was running?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that was them introducing Sandman into a title that was selling like hotcakes. The metal series was blowing up. So we should have knew then that something... We should have known then that something was in the works with this whole Sandman universe title.
Yeah.
And thankfully, here we are now.
Now, my only hope also is, like, if they're going to do this with Constantine, they got to bring Swamp Thing with him.
Just you simmer down.
Because Constantine and Swamp Thing, they're like, it's the buddy cop.
You are that comic fan that's just never happy.
I'm never happy.
You're like, hey, we got Constantine, but where's fucking Swamp Thing?
Where's Alec Holland?
Who do I write to complain? At Simon Spurrier, go fuck yourself.
Why aren't you writing Swamp Thing?
As if he's in charge of the entire DC company. I guarantee you there's fans have already written him about.
Oh, I guarantee it. There's a
Simon Spurrier, please don't like fuck that up my childhood. I will find you and kill you.
I'll put you in my own demon circle.
I'll put salt around you and then put a little salt around you. And then break the circle. All right, so October 30th, look out for the long-windedly titled The Sandman Universe Presents Hellblazer, a 38-page roller coaster which digs into an ill-visited but fertile corner of the ongoing Sandman Universe project, still observantly curated by Neil Gaiman and untangles the many threads that compose the most cunning of cunning men, John Constantine.
I'm really curious to see how well this title sells, like if it sells out a lot.
I'm telling you now, Dave, that
if I'm not correct, the Sandman, when they released Sandman,
mm-hmm.
the Sandman universe, those titles were hard to get when they first got released.
Oh, dude, I went to go pick up the issue zero, I believe, for Sandman universe. What was it, early last year? Is that when it dropped?
I think so, yeah.
And it was gone.
And was gone.
And I don't go into comic book shops. I do everything digitally. For me, there hasn't been anything that I want to get my hands on, like a physical copy, for a long time. But that was one that I wanted to grab. And I will be heading into a comic book shop to buy a physical copy of these. I have to. I mean, come on. I don't want a digital version of these. When we're talking Constantine, I need that copy there.
Yeah, especially since this is going to be a really cool throwback. Hopefully it'll be a throwback to what he was in Vertigo.
Are you familiar with Aaron Campbell? The artist Aaron Campbell?
Yes.
Okay, because Simon Spurrier also says, okay, so November 27th is when the actual Hellblazer number one, the ongoing series, debuts. He says, in at the deep end with a poison-blooded, filthy-mouth ongoing series. I mean, he has a way with words, dude. This is all his words. This is Spurrier's words. This guy has control of the English language. I love it. That gives me hope. That gives me hope for this series.
Yes.
With interior artist Aaron Campbell, which kicks off with a three-part arc titled A Green and Pleasant Land. And he tweeted out a cover. I am ready.
Yes.
And I'm going to be an effing nerd, Dave, and I'm going to buy all the variants.
I just would love to have this one cover.
When's the last time you bought the official issue and then all its variants?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Star Wars number one? Or have you done it since then?
I've done it since then.
Okay. That's the last time I've done that. Star Wars number one.
I'm trying to think what the last one was. I think, like, even Deceased, after I read a couple issues, then I went back and wanted to get all the variants.
See, I wish I went to go get a physical copy of that, but I missed the boat. I didn't realize it came out for a week because I don't know what happened to me. Shame on me for being a Constantine fan. I did not know about Deceased. Did I hear about it? Yes, but I'm not into the whole like zombie thing. I like zombie films as much as the next filmmaker douche, but
zombies have run their course.
It's played out. So when I heard about the whole Deceased thing, that it's not even part of the worlds, right? Isn't it an alternate reality? Yes. They're calling it.
It's an alternate universe.
Alternate universe. I just kind of shrugged and like, okay, let's see how this works out. And apparently I was totally wrong. It's worked out great.
Oh, it's worked out fantastic.
And now I have to go purchase those so I can read the Deceased one shot. In fact, let's just get into that right now. Deceased, the comic crossover event. Dave, this also looks exciting, and the artwork looks fantastic. Deceased, the fate of the universe may be in the hands of the one and only John Constantine.
I know.
It's the end of the world. At least it is in the alternate universe where Deceased is taking place. The limited series by Tom Taylor and Trevor Hairsign has unleashed a zombie virus of apocalyptic origin on the entire DC universe.
And I think that was the smartest thing they did with the series, was actually they took the concept of zombies and kind of turned it on its head.
Zombies?
By actually connecting it.
Yeah.
With Darkseid and the Omega Beam, or the Omega symbol, and
so have you read the opening issues?
Yeah, I've. It's one of those ones that forced me to go back and actually get all the issues.
Now I have, for the month of October, I have the network planning various Halloween specials for all of our different shows on the network, Rayman Digital, and Deceased is on Comic Book Chaos's list.
Oh, it should.
And it's going to bleed into our discussion, which will be on the Deceased one-shot that we're going to get into in a moment here. But first, Dave, since you read them, have you read them?
Yes.
Up to date?
Up to date.
Okay.
Some of the stuff in there, I have to be up to date in that series.
Okay. In a nutshell, Give me a brief review.
Very brief review. I really was surprised by the series from the get-go. I had zero expectations on it. And when I read
one of the... Why did you read it then?
Because I picked up one issue at a Barnes & Noble and was flipping through it. And I'm like going, what the hell is this? Oh my God, this is awesome.
The artwork is an eye catcher. It's
eye catcher, and it fits the genre.
Yeah.
I mean, this was actually, I would review this as probably DC's answer to Marvel Zombies, but doing it better.
Well, of course, it's DC. let's be clear. Because
I know people in the comic book community might think that's sacrilegious because Marvel Zombies was, you know,
Listen, this is a John Constantine DC fan show, so you know, yeah. Fuck Marvel.
But honestly, Deceased just hits the right beats. It
hits all walls.
So many.
It's nice and girthy.
Yeah, it hits every single spot that you want to get.
It hits all walls and tickles the butthole a little bit, right? At the same time.
Oh yeah.
All right.
And the story is like, you know, it's very fulfilling.
Are you How's coming that? Right now, Dan?
close, because we're not finished with Deceased yet. We got to get to the end.
So, first off, from what I've read, you don't have to read the entire run in order to understand and appreciate the DC one-shot that features John Constantine.
No.
However, you're telling us right now, Dave, and I'm throwing myself in the category of the listeners right now. I'm a listener right now, listening to you. You're telling us that it's worth a purchase.
It's absolutely worth a purchase.
Okay, well then I'm going to pick it up and read it. So this virus has already claimed the lives of heroes and villains alike, from Batman to Joker. Only a handful of heroes are still alive, and they are fighting a desperate battle to save what's left of the world. However, Superman and the remaining members of the Justice League aren't the only ones trying to save the planet. We go. In Deceased, A Good Day to Die, number one, we splinter off from the main series to catch up with another group of heroes stuck in the DC Universe's version of a zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
And while most of them end up dead by the end of the one shot, one character who remains standing by the end of the issue.
Yep.
He may just end up saving everyone. Well, okay. Did you read this one shot yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Let's not get into spoiler territory. But if they're alluding to the fact that he's the last one standing and this is a one shot, are we assuming that we may get more John Constantine?
We might.
Oh,
because, like,
please. Can you imagine? Okay. We had Batman Damned with John Constantine recently.
They just
wrapped up. We got Deceased with John Constantine. And now we're getting a return to form series via the Sandman universe. What's up with this Constantine resurgence? I'm loving it.
It's a return to form. And I think that that's what DC honestly needs. The whole new 52 thing was neat and everything, but it's kind of ran its course. It was a shiny
toy that got ran through a puddle of mud very fast because the kids don't take care of their toys.
Yes.
And you're right. The new 52. You're absolutely right. That was a great way to put it. It was neat, and then it was not.
And one of those characters that was affected by the 52, if you ask fans everywhere, was Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that basically DC is going back and saying, okay, fine, we're going to return Constantine back to form. This is what he was. I see special things happening for Constantine that I think, honestly, probably within a year, we might see something big in the horizon.
You think? Okay.
Bigger than TV?
A lot of people say you can kind of understand what the movie side may be thinking of doing based on what comic books they're trying to, or they are currently
pushing,
vamping up.
Yes.
There was rumors that the reason why Wonder Woman took the center stage of Justice League Dark in this recent ongoing series was because of the fame around and the critical acclaim surrounding her film.
Yeah.
It was a success. So there was rumors that they were saying, okay, well, we were struggling to get a Justice League Dark film off the ground. We can't put Constantine in the center just because his TV show had got canceled a few years ago. And we understand how crazy and fickle audiences are. The mainstream may say, oh, he's that guy from that TV show that got canceled. And let's be honest, that's how most of the mainstream probably remembers Constantine at this point.
Yes.
Unfortunately. So a lot of people are saying Wonder Woman being in charge of Justice League in the comic book run was a way to start planting seeds.
Yes.
To launch a Justice League Dark film with a character that's already established in the cinematic universe.
In the cinematic universe, yes.
Now, we could also say the same thing with what they're doing with Constantine here in the comic book side of things. They are putting a lot of Constantine. Are they getting us ready? Are they testing the climate for a Constantine film?
Well, I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat.
Let's do it.
Put on my tinfoil hat and you look at the breadcrumbs that are there.
Did you say breadcrumbs?
Breadcrumbs.
Oh, okay.
But let's take a look at this. We know that there is a Sandman series coming. We do know this.
To Netflix, right.
To Netflix. And this past maybe 2 years, they've been pushing the crap out of Sandman. Neil Gaiman returns. Everybody, you know, back to the Sandman universe. Suddenly, you get a Netflix series. Okay. Taking your example too, going all the way back to Wonder Woman, there's this weird synergy that comics and movies do have. Before the Wonder Woman film came out, one of the best-selling series and best-written series on the comic side was what? Wonder Woman. With, I forgot who the writer was that was in charge of the New 52 run.
Was it a man?
I forgot who it was. But that run of Wonder Woman, a lot of people point to that and say, hey, that sparked her popularity.
Right.
And boom, she had a movie.
Right.
Same thing. Aquaman. Aquaman had a huge run. Suddenly his movie came out.
Mm.
So if you have this huge run as a comic book hero, see Constantine having multiple releases and multiple focuses in different storylines, then the next jump is he has to get a film.
Yeah. And I know there's been rumors for years that
film or series. However, I don't know if they can do the series route because
honestly, okay, Dave, okay.
Matt Ryan hit it so much hard just, out of the park.
You're taking me in so many different areas. Hold on a second. I have thoughts on all of it. Okay. Let's tackle that. They can't do a TV show right now.
No, I
for a lot of reasons. Number one, Matt Ryan is the big swinging deck right now when it comes to Constantine, at least for television. Can you imagine? Now, listen, I love Constantine and I will give anything a chance. But can you imagine the outrage if they were to introduce Constantine into a TV show? Whether it be Sandman or something on the DC universe, and it's not Matt Ryan, the internet will have a fucking field day.
Yes.
Matt Ryan is so fucking popular on social media. It's insane.
Well, on top of that,
they would be shooting themselves in the foot. I feel like there's a lot of people that wouldn't even give it a chance because of the obsession for Matt Ryan. And I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm one of those, although I'm more open-minded. I am a huge Matt Ryan fan.
Yeah.
But I'm also open-minded. I'm willing to give anything a shot.
Yeah, especially since, you know, I'm going to say something that might not be very popular with our audience right now because it's a very popular series apparently, but
okay, give it to us.
I honestly feel Matt Ryan and Constantine are being wasted on Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Dave, we went into that on our inaugural show and I agree. I feel like Legends is not a good sandbox form. However, we will take it because that's all we're going to get right now.
Yeah, the problem is now you can't separate Matt Ryan and his Constantine from Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, you know how you do it? You just write them out. Hey, guys, you know what? We're going to take Matt Ryan and put him into a show that's good. Legends is good for what it is, but it's not Constantine good. So see you later. Have fun.
But do you think they could honestly do that without getting... Do you know that there's going to be fan backlash from Legends of Tomorrow? And
Legends of Tomorrow, not Legends of Tomorrow and John Constantine. So they can deal with it. Fuck them. Fuck them. That sounds very harsh, because I I'm not a fan of Legends of Tomorrow. I was for the first couple of years. I feel like the show has jumped the shark and they have wore it like a badge of honor. They gave up. The writers gave up because they couldn't succeed telling a serious show. So they decide to be silly and they break the fourth wall every week. There is no real
Bebo. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Oh my God. There's just nothing to that show. There's no substance any longer. And I was hopeful when they cast Matt Ryan. And I still watch when I can. I'm behind now, but I'm catching up since it came to Netflix. It's just hard for me to watch this because Matt Ryan was so amazing in his TV run. He was good as the voiceover artist for the animations. He is fantastic.
Yeah.
And to see his talents being wasted in Legends is kind of sucky for me.
It's sad.
Am I happy that we get to see him? Yes. And I said that in our first show we did. If this is the only thing I can get right now, then I will be happy with it for now. But if something comes along the way, if another opportunity opens up, then I'm like, yeah, let's pull Matt Ryan from Legends of Tomorrow and give him his own thing. And I don't think there would be a Constantine fan out there that would argue that.
No, no Constantine fan would argue that. I think that he got a bad rap. He got
bad shake. I mean.
He got a bad shake because like that character deserves to have his own series.
Yeah.
As much as people say that the series flopped, I'm sorry.
It didn't flop.
It didn't flop. It NBC was actually flopped. Really good.
NBC flopped.
It was actually a really cool story. And it was very well done. It was well done and it took risks as a horror series.
What? Taking risk on network television? What?
So that's why.
You can't do that.
The flip side for me is kind of like now you can't for me. I can't separate Matt Ryan from Constantine.
Hard. It's difficult, Dave.
Which means if we're going to do a John Constantine movie.
Yep. Oh, look at you learning how to circle on back to a topic. All these years, the training has finally paid off. At this moment. That's why I'm calling it out. I want everyone to notice. But look at David. Going back, you're a pro.
A pro. But like. For him to jump into a movie would be fantastic, but I'm actually 50-50 on it because he's been so shitly used.
Yeah. Well, okay, Dave. So you're hitting on all the best things right now. All the things are on my mind as well. It's very hard.
It's very hard.
If they were to announce a movie, I, of course, from a Constantine fan's point of view, would be ecstatic. I feel like the property deserves mainstream attention, but it would be really hard because I think we all know that Matt Ryan will not be cast in the lead of the movie. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it.
So that means we're going to get either a new actor or if you want to believe these recent rumors, apparently Marvel and DC are playing tug of war over Keanu Reeves. Following the awesome success of the John Wick movies, according to this comicbook.com site, Keanu Reeves happens to be a hot commodity, which has been talk of comic book movies for the actor, including roles for Marvel, as well as a possible return
roles
to DC. Now, this rumor started a couple years ago when Keanu Reeves remembered or talked about, probably a better way of saying that, he talked about Constantine favorably.
Yeah.
Whereas in years past, he said he had no desire to do a sequel. But flash forward, I want to say 5-6 years later, after that movie debuted, I think it was around 2012, 2013, and we had discussed this on an earlier show. There was a Reddit Ask Me Anything that was going on for Keanu Reeves, and he specifically stated he would love to return to the world of Constantine. And he specifically said, I know it's not the Constantine from the comics.
Yes.
However, it was fun to play the character and he would like to come back.
Yeah. And honestly, I'd be actually pretty happy about that. I mean, me and you have made no bare bones about it.
Yeah.
That movie gets a bad rap from fans, but in actuality, it's pretty good. When you look back at it and see what they were doing.
Well, there's a couple things that is good. Okay, that's happening here, I should say. There's a couple rumors that have surfaced, and I don't know if they've been confirmed officially yet. Warner Brothers has decided to go forward with The Matrix 4. That's something that has been discussed now for a few weeks.
Yes.
And apparently Keanu Reeves will be returning to reprise the role of Neo. Now, when an actor has a relationship with a studio, usually the agent, if it's a good agent or manager, they don't just sign him up for one movie. They sign an overall deal.
Yes.
Does this mean he's going to be on board Warner Brothers for the long haul? And if he is, then there's room for that Constantine sequel.
Here's the snag to that. In fact,
maybe the studio said, hey, you want to do a Constantine? This happens all the time in Hollywood. So, Keanu, you want to do a Constantine sequel, right? Okay. Well, we want to do Matrix 4. We've been trying to get your ass back into this franchise for like 10 years. Do us a solid, and we do you a solid. I have a feeling that's what we're going to see.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to throw this snag out there. Normally, that's how business works. However, now, the last couple of shows and all our DC talks, the one snag to all of this isn't Keanu. It's not his agent. It's Warner Brothers.
Yeah. And we all know what they do.
I cannot see them taking the gamble. Because they're so scared of doing something different and doing something unique.
Okay. Yes, I normally would agree. However, according to this rumor, Keanu Reeves, Warner Brothers wanted to keep Keanu Reeves away from Marvel. By doing so, they're trying to keep him in-house by signing him to The Matrix 4. Which will keep Reeves away from the MCU, which has been trying to get him to get. Was there a rumor he was a part of? What's that movie with Angelina Jolie coming out? The Immortals? Is that the Marvel movie that she was cast in? Immortals, right? Yeah, there was a rumor that he was going to be attached to that as well. So it looks like the studio is trying to keep him away from there. So The Matrix 4 is a thing. And maybe we'll get him in there, but let's talk about, that's a big maybe, but let's talk about this. And we recently did a review of the 2005 Constantine film, and we both were fans of it.
Yes.
Is it a perfect John Constantine adaptation? Absolutely not.
No.
Is it a pretty damn good movie? Yeah. And it holds up. But it isn't the greatest Constantine film. That being said, and whatever director decides to grab the reins of a sequel, you know they could repair some of that.
Absolutely. That's why I said is like, I think bringing Keanu Reeves back for Constantine is actually a pretty damn good idea.
Yeah.
Because you have something already established. Fans can look back and say, okay, this is Constantine. And suddenly, okay, bang, we're going to take all that, but we're going to tweak it so it actually fits, you know, mass fandom,
yeah,
and make sure it fits the mold of Constantine. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's an honest no-brainer.
Yeah, I feel like it would work, especially because in retrospect, the studio probably realizes some of the mistakes they might have made with the first one. Again, good movie, not a great Constantine film. I feel like knowing this, they can almost look at the first movie as the first stone.
Yeah, it's a first step.
Thank you, Dave. Wrong choice of words. The first step laid down. And if they decide to continue to make these movies, they can easily lead into the more darker mythology of Constantine and really focus on a story driven by the real non-superficial ingredients that make up the amazing character that is John Constantine, the comic books.
That's the thing that I'm asking, not just you, Mike, but all fans out there. Are you guys willing to actually just open your boundaries a little bit and forget the superficial John Constantine
fan? Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
Well,
because
I
if you
too.
Give me a dark narrative, if you give me of the type of storytelling we expect out of John Constantine, then yes. Absolutely. I don't care if he's not British. I don't care if he's blonde. Give me John as a character. Give me John as the character that fits that narrative.
Listen, you don't have to have a British accent. It'd be nice, but you don't have to be.
You don't have to. it's so superficial when people say, oh, he's blonde and he smokes a lot and he wears a trench coat all the time. You mean to tell me that basically cosplaying John Constantine is essentially a cosplayer?
As long as the heart and soul of Constantine's there, that's all I really care about. All right, so moving on to John Constantine and Friends news, let's talk about Emilia Clarke being eyed to play Zatanna. First off, I love me some Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
The Khaleesi.
Yes.
Warner Brothers seems keen to expand the number of leading female superheroes in the DCEU going forward with more movies for Wonder Woman and Harley Quinn on the way, as well as projects for the likes of Batgirl and Supergirl in the works. The future is bright, Dave. Another one it's believed that the studio's working to bring into the universe is Zatanna. As per a report from Deadline last November that said WB was developing a solo film for the sorceress.
Which would be awesome.
I would be okay with that.
I would be really okay with that. Out of all the characters in Justice League Dark, Zatanna, besides Constantine, there's a Constantine show. Zatanna is actually my favorite over Wonder Woman. Because Zatanna... Oh,
yeah. I think it fits more what we're into.
What we're into.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love how Zatanna's portrayed in all the comics. And
she's great.
Emilia Clarke playing her would be fantastic. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize, Dave.
You know, I might need a moment. I have the vapors.
You might need a silence.
Thinking about it.
Moment of silence.
I have the vapors.
Let's take a moment of silence for this Khaleesi break.
And
no, I said a moment of silence, please. Moment of silence. Okay, go ahead. Oh, wow. I was paying tribute
outfit
and respect, and you're over there being a disrespectful, chauvinistic douche.
Nonsense. It's admiring a piece of art.
So you now feel like women are objects for you to oogle and appreciate?
Maybe.
Wow. I wouldn't mind interpreting those hips. I think she's trying to say she wants me to fuck her right now. can I hang her on a wall like a fine piece of art? Well, the way she's bending down right now is telling me.
Jesus, I think I can print this up.
I'm going to cut all of this out. This is very inappropriate. All right, let's get back on path, you pervert, okay? Emilia Clarke, Zatanna, yes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm okay with that. She has the name that we need. She's coming off the Game of Thrones high. I mean, she hasn't really been a huge box office draw. The two big movies she's been a part of so far have been box office disappointments for the most part. The Terminator film, Terminator Genesis, and then, of course, the Star Wars A Solo Story, or Solo A Star Wars Story.
But honestly, in Solo, she did fantastic.
Oh, no, she did great. I mean, she also did fine in Genesis, but those two movies just didn't equate to huge box office dollars. And that's important, especially to Warner Brothers. They need hits. So that's the only thing that would probably push them away from casting her. So we shall see what happens, Dave. Do we want to talk Legends of Tomorrow, or do you think we're already been there?
You know,
let's just get into it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should.
CW addresses plans for John Constantine going forward. This is a little bit of older news, but we haven't had a chance to get into it yet. Mostly because I'm angry.
All I have to say is Bebo, and then suddenly your blood pressure just starts building.
Yeah, the Arrowverse has accumulated a pretty significant array of DC comic characters over the years, according to comicbook.com, including Matt Ryan's fan favorite portrayal of John Constantine. The final episodes of Legends Season 4 essentially set in motion a connection to the story that was introduced in his TV show. Yes. Without any spoilers, essentially next season, season 5 of Legends of Tomorrow's. Let me backtrack. The fifth season of Legends of Tomorrow, the baddie, that has been chosen will be connected to John Constantine's TV show. Directly connected. Okay, so I don't want to get into spoilers if people are still trying to catch up on Netflix. In the finale, we are going to see a terribly nuanced version of blank showrunner Phil Klemmer told cinema book, comicbook.com. Okay, hold on. Let me get to the facts here. I never would have thought that John Constantine would fit in with Legends, says John Klemmer, the showrunner of Legends of Tomorrow, and on board the Wave Rider. But I think for the next season, we want to keep digging deep on this guy because he feels pretty bottomless. So you're taking, this is why it bothers me, Dave. Okay. He says he's a bottomless pit of darkness, but also there's no end to the, to him and the tragedy, to his, the mythos of John Constantine.
Yes.
So you're taking an A-list. John Constantine isn't mainstream, but he's an A-list superhero, okay? And you're putting him on a Wave Rider with a bunch of C-list DC heroes. They're all C-list. They're not even B-list. They're C-list.
Yeah.
When you look at the source material, they're C-list.
They're C-list.
Maybe even D-list. And because they're just not that interesting, their source material, they're taking a character that has decades of amazing source material and they're going to use him for this show. And that's why they're not letting him go, Dave, because he is, Klemmer said it, he is bottomless. Having Constantine introduced into the world of Legends is the best thing that could have happened to that showrunner.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's just endless supply of ideas. He can dial it in even more so than he's already doing. I don't have to work at all now. Shit.
I don't have to. What? I have to think of actually narratives to follow for characters? Are you kidding me?
Can I talk to the CW lawyer? I want to find out if I can get sued for plagiarism on a TV show because I'm just going to like verbatim this son of a bitch.
But it's true. I mean, Constantine is that little gold nugget that you find in a pile of poop.
Yeah. Wait, you find nuggets of gold in poop?
Sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes.
Wow.
You know, you hit the lottery sometimes and all of a sudden, oh, look, there's a gold. It's just surrounded by poop.
I have no idea what you're talking about. And I don't want to know. So on that note, Dave, we're going to close out today's discussion. I want to thank everybody for sticking with us despite the horrible, horrible things we discuss on this show. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Constantine would be proud.
Would he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that he probably has the same devious thoughts about Zatanna than I do. You think
he wants to put Emilia Clarke on a wall and oogle over her?
I honestly think
you know what? I actually can see that in a comic book. Come to think of it. All right. So let's end this show. Please find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Search House of Mystery. Leave us reviews. Give us thumbs up. Otherwise, I'm going to put a hex on you. Later.
My name is John Constantine. I'm the one who steps from the shadows, all trench coat and arrogance. I'll drive your demons away, kick them in the bollocks and spit on them when they're down, leaving only a nod and a wink and a wisecrack. I'll walk my path alone, because let's be honest, who'd be crazy enough to walk it with me?